Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
John chapter number 6 and then Hebrews the 5th chapter. We're going to start in John chapter number 6. I want to read two verses in John 6, verses 28 and 29. John chapter number 6, verses 28 and 29. This is right after the multiplying of the bread for the multitude. And they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now the context here, when they say the works of God, the context here is miracles. What must we do to work miracles? That's their question, or to see the power of God in operation. And of course, they had just seen it to provide a need. How many of you like to see the power of God in operation to provide needs, to take care of financial situations? But there's other needs as well, all kinds of needs. What must we do to work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you get a third job." Oh, I was reading out of your doctrine. That. I'm going to be nice this morning. "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." That's Jesus. Believe on Jesus. "This is the work of God, that you believe." Now notice what they said. They saw a miracle where there was supernatural provision. How many of you know God hasn't let you on your own to take care of anything that pertains to your life? He said he's given you richly all things to enjoy. And he also said that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the power, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Praise God. So the Bible also says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It says no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, if that's the truth, then why aren't we seeing everything he has for us in our lives? Well, the reason is because they recognize something, and we must recognize the same thing, is that there's a Godward side to things, and then there's a manward side to things. The manward side is what they were asking about. They recognized that miracles were happening in Jesus' life and ministry. Supernatural things. Normally, when people would come up to a situation like Jesus came up to where they didn't have food to feed the group, the multitude, normally people would say, "Well, you know, we just have to go home, you know." And that's just the natural, the way things happen naturally. But Jesus kept coming up to situations like that and seeing something kick in that changed it. He kept seeing the power of God come in operation, both in his life for his own provision, because remember at times he needed food, there were times, you know, there was times he needed certain things, but then also in other people's lives. They saw the power of God kick in. Amen. And they began to notice that happens for Jesus, but it doesn't seem to happen for anyone else. They began to recognize, yes, God has a part to play in these things, but they began to recognize that man has a part to play, because they kept seeing Jesus do something. And whenever he would do something, the power of God would come into operation and there would be a miraculous intervention, you might call it, or something happened to keep Jesus from being trapped in that situation without provision. You understand what I'm talking about? So when they noticed, they kept seeing Jesus, he lived differently. He lived with the power of God in operation. And you know, we've got to recognize Jesus didn't say here, "Well, I'm Jesus, I can live this way." Religion will tell you that. Religion will say, "Well, he's able to live. Jesus is able to live in the power of God. He was able to see those kinds of things. But mere mortals like us, you know, we can't." No, but Jesus told them, he said, "This is the work that you must do, and you'll see the power of God in operation just like I see it." Amen. How many of you know Jesus himself said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and even greater works than these." Praise the Lord. So it's not just God doing the works. Remember, Jesus said, "It's the Father in me, he doeth the works." It wasn't just God, it was God in him. And he did certain things to cooperate with God. And we've got to recognize that the Bible makes it plain in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 9. It says, "We are laborers together with God." Everybody say, "We're laborers together." What does that mean? It's just not all up to God that the power of God is in operation on our behalf. We have a part. We have a, if you want to call it that, we have a work to do. Now the work, you can work in the natural or you can work in the spirit. Amen. And the work of the spirit, he said here, is faith. Can you say that? Say, our work,
our job
is faith.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you know God gave you a job to do? Yes. And that job is that you believe and that you take God at his word and that you act on that. And it is work, just like Jesus said. He said, this is the work.
Yes.
Amen. It's not walking by faith is not going to happen for them that play games spiritually. Amen. That are just on the fringes. That just got saved by faith. You get saved by faith, all right. But how many of you know it's a totally different bird that lives by faith? I'm talking about there's multitudes get saved by faith, but they don't live by faith. I don't want to just experience God in my salvation. I want to experience God in my daily life. I want to get up in the power of God. I want to go about my day in the power of God. I want to experience God all the time. Just a little dabble do you is not good enough for me. I want the power of God in my daily life. So they began to recognize that we must do something. That we have a part to play. And I like the way they worded it. They didn't say, what is God going to do to get that done through us? They said, what must we do? They began to recognize that there's something they had to do. You realize that the power of God is not in full manifestation for every believer? Amen. We all have the power of God in manifestation to a degree. So we're going to talk about this morning. You want to learn anything about this? So they're beginning to think, maybe us. Maybe we can see the things that Jesus saw. Maybe we can live the way he lived. You know, Jesus kept rebuking them for their unbelief. They were going across the lake. He was sleeping because he said, let's go to the other side. And they got him awake and said, don't you care that we perish? He was accused of not caring. You know, and people actually accuse him today of that. Well, why don't you do something, God? Well, the point is, Jesus turned around to the disciples who accused him of not doing something, and he said to them, where is your faith? Isn't that right? And they kept getting rebuked. Remember, they tried to cast the devil out of that boy? Jesus came down off the Mount Transfiguration, and they brought this man brought his son to him, said, we brought him to thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Later, Jesus was talking to him, and they said, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes,
so Jesus kept rebuking them for their unbelief, and eventually they must have got tired of getting rebuked. So they said, okay, what is it now that we've got to do to see the power of God flow like you saw the power of God flow? And Jesus said, this is the work that you believe.
Yes.
Now, it's not going to happen for lazy people spiritually. It is work. Can you say that? Say, it is work to walk by faith. Now, I don't mean that you have to earn anything. I don't mean a work that earns something. I'm talking about, well, we'll explain it as we go. There's a work to do to believe God. Now, over in the book of Hebrews, notice here in the fifth chapter, let's start in verse number 11. And we'll read verse number 11 and verse 12. Hebrews 5, verses 11. I'm sorry. Hebrews 6. I said 5. I said the wrong chapter. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. It says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. Say diligence.
Diligence.
That's a word that people don't like much today. There's a diligence you have to apply to spiritual things. It doesn't happen for you just because, you know, you don't get to where Oral Roberts was because you lay in the spiritual bed and take a spiritual snooze and get up in the morning and watch television. Amen. There's going to have to be some spiritual diligence. You're going to have to apply yourself. Amen. So he said here, verse 11, that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The word hope means expectation. In other words, be diligent to go all the way to you're fully assured in your expectation of the things God said to you. Go to the end. Everybody say to the end. Now, verse 12, and be that you be not slothful. Now, we have another word for that today. It's called lazy. That you be not lazy. Well, people put a period there and say, that's right, you need to get up in the morning, you need to go to work, you need to get a job, you need to, and we do have a natural thing, we have natural things we need to do. Don't misunderstand me. But see, too many times we're living so much in the natural that when we see don't be lazy in the Bible, we instantly think, don't be lazy, you know, get a job. Now, don't misunderstand me. The Bible says if you or I don't work, we're not to eat. Isn't that right? So we're to be giving our, remember, he said he'll bless what you put your hand to. But what I'm talking about is you can do that and not do anything in the spirit. And according to this verse, be called by God lazy. Amen. Many people. Somebody said, well, you know, hard work is what it's all about. Well, some of the hardest working people in the world don't live in America, and they're the poorest. I'm not making fun of them. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that there's a work ethic that we have learned. Many of us grew up, especially in the older generation, grew up learning a good work ethic. But our spiritual work ethic is pathetic. Yeah, I am preaching good. Amen. We have to have a spiritual work ethic. We have to have a diligence that we apply towards spiritual things. And we can be workaholics in the flesh and not be applying anything, any spiritual effort. And God look at us and say, I wish they'd stop being so lazy. Notice what he says here, that you be not slothful, or we would say lazy, but be imitators. The Greek word actually is imitators. Followers is a good word, but it's not doesn't go far enough. It really means imitators. Margin of my Bible even says that. That you be not slothful, but be imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Woo, glory. In other words, come into the fullness of what God's provided for you in Christ through faith is going to take some work. Some spiritual effort. Now, our problem with this is that we haven't been taught about what it means to believe God, and so therefore we just think it means we just rest and do nothing. Well, there is a rest to faith, but the Bible says, let us labor therefore to enter into rest. I'm quoting Hebrews 4, what is it, verse 9 or somewhere, 10 or something like that. Let us labor to enter into rest. Faith is a rest, but there is some work to do. The word labor's there too. Work, labor to enter into it. And actually, once you get into it, it is a rest, but Satan will hinder you or seek to hinder you. He can't do it unless you let him, but he'll seek to hinder you from getting into it. And then once you get into it, he will seek to get you out of it. It's not God that's making you work. It's Satan who's resisting you. And you're going to have to put forth some spiritual effort to resist the temptation to give up. You know what I mean? To let thoughts run wild, let unbelief run through your mind. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some diligence. It's going to take some work. And then the Bible calls it in another place a fight. Now, it's not a fight to get anything from God. He already, you know, got that for you. He redeemed you and gave you everything. But there is someone trying to resist you. And it's not me or your wife either. It's Satan. Amen. So, let's look at this truth a little bit. You want to learn some things about this? What does it require to see the supernatural interventions of God's power? And where you come out the other side, where there's been an intervention of God's power causing you to experience something that nobody else is experiencing. Causing you to experience the inheritance that he mentioned here. He said here that through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. I want to inherit, I mean, I already have inherited, but I want to enter upon the enjoyment of it. That's what one translation says here, enter into the enjoyment of the promises. So what do we find then? We find then that there is a work to do. Amen. Amen. So he's saying, don't be lazy, use your faith. Amen. That you be not slothful, but that you imitators who through faith and patience. Use your faith. Exercise faith. Yes. Amen. Now, it takes work to say, I believe God, whenever everything else looks like it's too late. It takes effort of the Spirit. Now, this kind of work is something that the devil will, when you first start learning to do this, as you learn to do this, and then you have to maintain this for the rest of your life, this is something that our minds fight. because it's not a mental work. We're so used to working, trying to figure things out. How many have ever come up to a situation and you tried to figure it out? That's a work, but it's not laboring in the Spirit. Amen. And whenever we enter into this work of faith, our minds struggle with it because we're not used to this kind of work. And this kind of work doesn't feel the same as getting sore muscles or getting brain lock because we're trying to figure it out. You ever seen that commercial, or not commercial, but a cartoon of a guy that's working on a computer so hard and the smoke starts coming out of it? He's working real hard, smoke. Well, see, people's brains do that. They wear themselves out. Mentally, they get worn down to where they've overworked mentally, but see, they got nothing done in the Spirit. But see, this feels different. To work in the Spirit feels different. To get up an hour and a half early and spend an hour and a half in the Word. Everything about your day. How many of you know it's work to not get up in the morning and just jump into the natural work of your day? The flesh is comfortable with natural work to a degree, you understand. But it's not that comfortable with doing something in the Spirit. The devil will jump on your head as you're meditating on the Word of God. And he'll say, well, you ought to get busy and do something. You have a lot to do today. Why is he fighting that so hard? Because he knows you're doing a work in a realm that will actually stop him. Amen. So it does require work, but it's a different kind of work, and it doesn't feel the same, so our minds have a lot of trouble with it. Our minds will say something like this: this isn't doing any good for me or my situation. I'm laying here on the bed. I'm spending an extra hour and a half laying on the bed or wherever you do your praying, I don't know, and just praising the Lord and quoting verses. And the devil will say, you're being lazy. See, look at you sleeping in like this. Amen. I was raised, me personally, was raised with a strong work ethic in the natural. But when I got to Bible school, when God started moving me into his plan for my life in the ministry, he took me through an intense time of about 3 years to where he made me. He can't force you to do anything, but if I was going to get to the next place I wanted, I knew I needed to learn to not just get up and jump on my day and get in my day and work hard, because that's the way I was used to do. And I was used to that. It felt like something I was used to. But he made me. There were times I had to take off and spend all morning in the Word of God. Not because he forced me, but you understand, I knew I needed to break something. I needed to break a habit of the flesh, of just working everything out myself. If I need more money, I just work more hours. And it got to the place to where God made sure I understood, because I would override my heart and I would go, because I had the kind of a commission job where I had some control over my hours, you understand. So, but I had to override my heart to go work because I needed some money. But God made sure that I was all on my own out there doing that. Because I'd work all morning and wouldn't make $50. Started this job and I had to leave that because they weren't ready. So I had to go over here, and all they had to clean over here was a dryer vent. And I didn't make much money on dryer vents. And then the truck broke down and I had to call the office and and the Lord said to me, I would have given you more if you'd have stayed home and did what I told you to do. Amen. See, I had to learn to labor in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. When I started preaching, I was I was 20 years old when I started preaching, and then went on the road a few years after that, just in my 20s, and people would say, man, how old are you? I'm not bragging, I'm just making a point here. And I tell them, and they say, man, you're developed for your age. I said, yeah. I said, I had to give myself to my ministry. I gave myself to it. Amen. You understand? You have to give yourself to things in order to develop and progress in them. Amen. Well, say hallelujah. I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. I'm just making that point. If you give yourself to spiritual things, you'll develop quicker. But sometimes if we don't give ourselves to spiritual things, or we're lazy towards spiritual work, then we'll have to labor harder in the natural in order to accomplish the same kind of results. In other words, we'll have to put forth more effort in the flesh and get less done because we're all on our own. How many of you know whenever he is laboring, when you're laboring with God, then he's laboring with you. And whenever you put your hand to something, you're not just doing it in the flesh. You're putting your hand to it with the anointing of God's power on top of your hand. And because you've mixed your faith with the word of God, and you said, I'm putting my hand to this, and he's making it prosper. So now you've got help and you're not all on your own. And that'll take you much further than not doing anything in the spirit, but just jumping into the natural. Oh, I'm helping somebody here today. I can tell on the inside I'm helping somebody. Amen. Now go over to the book of Ecclesiastes in the 10th chapter, a verse that I've shared with the congregation before, but the Lord just stirred me up about some of this again. I believe it's for us to help us. You know, God's trying to get us to work together with him, not just working on our own. And the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the 10th verse, one of the verses that God showed me during this time, I said, there's about 3 years, he really worked me over. It wasn't that he didn't want me to have a work ethic like I was raised with. He just wanted me to realize that you have to have the same kind of ethic in the spirit. And I didn't have that kind of effort. I wasn't applying myself like I was in the natural. Ecclesiastes 10:10, notice this verse. If the iron be blunt, we would say today, if the axe is dull, and he do not whet the edge, or that means sharpen the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Yes. If your axe is dull, he said, you're going to have to swing harder. Yes. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, if you're trying to cut down a tree and you got a dull axe, I mean, you're just bumping off the, you know, you don't have enough sharp edge on that axe to really cut into the wood whenever you swing. And really, an axe is a harvesting tool. It's a, you know, in those days, of course, we think of an axe today as maybe not as a harvesting tool, but it really is. It's harvesting trees. And he's talking about harvesting, and he said, if you don't have a sharp axe when you harvest, he's telling us, then we're going to have to put forth more effort in the flesh. Isn't that what it's telling us? But he's telling us, if we use wisdom, then it's profitable. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Amplified says, wisdom helps him succeed. In other words, it's not just all, if you look at this verse carefully, he's telling us, it's not just good hard work alone that causes you to succeed. He said, use some wisdom. You can work hard with a dull axe and wear yourself out, but really get nothing done or get very little done. As far as making progress, harvesting, getting things to come in, so forth and so on. Isn't that right? Now, so, you know, there's always a few or maybe one person in the congregation you preach this, and people, woo, yeah, glory to God. I'm not going to work anymore. I'm not saying that. I'm saying don't be lazy spiritually. He said use some wisdom. In other words, wisdom would sharpen the axe. Now, let's ask ourselves the question, according to the word of God, what is the axe here? The axe, if you go over, I won't take time to go all these, but you'll remember Mark chapter number 4, you remember the parable of the sower. He's talking about, right before the parable of the sower, I think maybe it's actually right after the parable of the sower, Jesus told another parable, and that parable was about the man who sows the seed, and he sleeps and rises night and day, he knows not how, and the seed brings forth first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Remember that? And then he said immediately, when the harvest is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle. The sickle. Now, right there's another instrument being used to harvest off of seed that was sown. Right? So it's the same kind of terminology. Now, if you look at that terminology and you look at the whole principle of seed time and harvest, you'll find out that it takes faith to sow seed, but it takes faith to harvest off the seed you've sown. In other words, you sow seed, God will multiply it, but you've got to use your faith to bring it in. Amen. Remember the Bible in the book of Proverbs talks about don't be slothful. But he said, well, let's go over there. Go to the 6th chapter of Proverbs. I believe I'm giving you the right verse. You're hearing Ecclesiastes. The 6th chapter of the book of Proverbs, I hope. I don't know. I didn't look this up. Verse number 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. gathereth her food in the harvest. Notice that. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and one that and thy want as an armed man. Well, I don't know if you like that or not, but I don't like that. That's talking about a man who's lazy. Now, if you actually think about it, it's talking about twofold kind of laziness. Because one kind of laziness is just, you know, not getting a job, not getting out there. How many of you know, let me just to help some of you single people, if you're getting ready to marry somebody and they don't have a job or a car or I highly advise you to set some guidelines before you get married. If you want me to help, I'll tell you how I can help. I'll call them up there and say, now, you ain't marrying one of our girls into that mess. You need to, before you get married, at least for a year, you need to hold a job for a year. You need to be able to have a car that works. Because she should be promoted when she gets married, not moved down to that. Amen. Pastor Nancy told a story of a lady came to her. She had gotten divorced. She didn't go to the church at first, but this lady and her husband had gotten divorced, and then this lady and her husband started coming to the church, both of them. They weren't married, but they kind of both started coming because they were dating again. They wanted to get back together. And Pastor Nancy said, well, they asked, would you marry us? You know, we've wanted to get back together. She said, sure. But then after being married for, I think it was only a few months, this lady came to Pastor Nancy and said, well, I have a problem. She said, what's the problem? She said, I just remembered, well, after we've been married for a few months here, I remembered why we got divorced to begin with. That's a pretty short memory. But she said, what's the reason? And the lady said, well, the reason is because he won't work. He just sits on the porch all day long and watches who goes down the street. He just won't work, won't get a job. I don't know what to do. She said, Pastor Nancy said, I have counsel. I said, well, what's that, Pastor Nancy? Because they're just coming to the church new, you know. What's the counsel? Well, the counsel is that if he won't work, he can't eat. So here's what because this lady goes to work. She leaves and goes and goes to her job and comes home, you know, and brings the money home. Of course, buys the groceries and everything. Well, he won't do anything. So Pastor Nancy said, here's the counsel. If he don't work, he don't eat. So here's what you do. You go take every shred of food out of those cupboards. You don't even have a box meal in there. You don't have a bag of potatoes down underneath the cabinet. You don't have anything. Nothing. No, nothing in the refrigerator. Nothing in the pantry. Nothing in the cupboards. Nothing in the basement. Nothing. No canned goods. Nothing. And you go leave for work early. You get breakfast wherever you want to get breakfast in a restaurant. You eat lunch down at the lunch break at your job. And then you eat before you come home. It was only about a week or 10 days later, she came back to Pastor Nancy and said, he got a job. I like that kind of feistiness. I have a lot of respect for that kind of feistiness. Some of you ladies ought to stand up a little bit more. Because how many of you know when your stomach is growling and it's rubbing against your backbone? That has a way of talking to people that you as a spouse can't talk to them. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need to put our hand to something. But what I'm saying is not to be lazy spiritually, where you're putting your hand to something and you're all alone. You don't have any of God's power involved in it. Amen. How many of you know unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it? Hallelujah. So what do we find here is he's telling us the ant gets out there and harvests things. And so what do we find that our harvest tool is? Our harvest tool is our faith. It's believing God. It's not just, you know, going to work and then coming home and complaining about the boss. Why don't he give us raises? And I don't know why they're not treating us right. That's not faith. You're making your boss your source. Put your faith in God. Amen. So he's telling us here in Ecclesiastes, he said that you can work hard, but that's not necessarily going to do as much as sharpening your faith, sharpening your harvest tool, and getting more bang for your buck, if you know what I mean by that. In other words, whenever you go to work, you put your hand to something, but God's power is intervening and coming on top of that and getting more done. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I preaching all right? So what we find here is that you can work hard, but he's telling us that's not going to be good enough. Work smart. So work smart, it just simply means put some effort into developing your spirit, developing your faith, and using your faith in receiving from God. I believe success is not difficult. I believe failures are man-made in any arena. Whether it's me or you or whoever did it, I believe failure is man-made. God never created man to fail in any arena.
Amen.
It's all us doing things on our own with our own wisdom, not seeking God and getting His wisdom. Amen? It's not difficult. I believe it's just a matter of working in the right arenas. Working not just in the flesh, but seeking God. You know, a lot of people, they're working hard, but they didn't even seek God about the field of business they're in.
Yes, sir.
So they're in the wrong woods.
Yeah.
God doesn't even want them in that woods.
Amen.
Cutting things down. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So people have got to be, they've got to learn that just because they look across, you know, the wherever you work, you look across and you see somebody really working hard. Doesn't mean they're ahead of you.
That's right. Amen.
You can look across you're out chopping down your tree and look over somebody else chopping, the bark's really flying over there. But see, if they're flying and they're chopping, but there's bark flying, but they're not using their faith,
yeah,
they're gonna lose everything they've got.
That's right.
Amen. So we've got to recognize real success is a matter of not just working hard, but working smart.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's true of harvesting and return off of your giving. You've got to set your faith to receive from God. Hallelujah. Now we find in 1 Corinthians 9:26 that the Bible says that we are not as though that beat the air, as those that beat the air. Remember that? Paul said we pummel our flesh. You know, there's a lot of people, whenever he says beating the air, he's talking about missing the mark. There's a lot of people hitting the wrong direction. They're trying to work hard in the natural, and I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just telling you, don't be lazy spiritually and work hard in the natural with nothing in the spirit. So they're really missing the mark. What they need to be doing is something in the spirit to counteract Satan's activity. Hard work doesn't do anything to count in the natural. Doesn't do anything to counteract Satan's activity. You've got to do something in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me illustrate it this way. The Lord gave me this illustration years ago, and he brought it back to me through looking through some notes along this line. You know, a guy that really wants to fly can put forth a lot of effort, flap his arms, you know, and just wear himself out trying to fly and fall over exhausted, not even get off the ground. Isn't that right? Or he can recognize there is a natural law called the law of lift. And men have designed machines that put that law into motion when you go forward at a certain rate. And I can get on that machine called an airplane, and I can lean back in my seat, push the button, and enjoy the trip. Right? And he's not going to wear himself out. Amen. How many of you can see the point?
Yes.
A lot of people are trying to harvest and they're not getting anywhere. Amen.
Yeah.
I got to the place. See, what happened on my job was, whenever the Lord was dealing with me, I told you my testimony, how the Lord kept dealing with me. Draw back. Don't work as much. Give yourself to more volunteering. And that was because, you know, that's unique for me. Don't think that that's the way God's directing you, unless that's in your heart. I don't want to hinder you if that's in your heart. But that's the way God was getting us into full-time ministry. So, and the Lord kept dealing with us about that. And finally, I had to learn that I could use my faith and get money to come in.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what he was trying to get me to do.
Right.
Now, there are people that hear preachers preach like this and they say, yeah, I know, man, preachers, all they do is get up on Sunday morning and preach, and then they must drink lemonade and rock in the hammock in the backyard all afternoon the rest of the week. You follow me around a couple of weeks, you wish for your job back. Especially in a remodel. I got two jobs now. There's at least 100 decisions got to be made every day. Just, you know, all these things you got to do. You got to make the right decision and all this kind of stuff. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, so there's an issue, though, that we can just be busy naturally or busy mentally and nothing spiritually is happening. And that's what I don't want to be living in. I don't want to be living there. I don't want to be flapping my arms trying to get somewhere whenever I could just operate in a spiritual law called the law of faith. Amen. Now go over to 2 Thessalonians. Maybe we'll get this done this morning. Maybe we won't. I don't know how far we'll get here. But let's look at it in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We grew up maybe with a natural work ethic. Maybe some of us more of a work ethic than others. But we've got to learn to have a spiritual work ethic. A faith ethic. Amen. If spiritual laws are working against you, then really it doesn't matter how much effort you put out in the natural. Or how hard you work in the natural. It takes faith to counteract the flow of lack in the earth. Did you get that? Some of you need to write that down. You ought to put that in your mirror. It takes faith to counteract the law of lack in the earth. The flow or the law of lack in the earth. Not just working hard. Do it in faith. And I'm going to get into that more as we go here, what I mean by that. But I'm just for this point, just telling you, it has to be you mix faith with it. Remember 1 John 5:4? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is the victory. Now, actually, the word world there is the Greek word for arrangement, for provision. You look it up. I looked it up. I was shocked. I was like, whoa, the arrangement. This is the victory of over the arrangement that is in the world to provide for you or take care of you. You can look it up and see if I'm right. I was shocked. It actually deals with provision and taking care of us. The world has a system of taking care of you. And by the way, the head of this system is Satan, who is the god of this world. Are you with me this morning? He set up a system of taking care of you. And he said, without mixing your faith in God's word and putting your hand to this natural work arena, he said, you'll not overcome the world or the system and the world to take care of you. What is the system in the world? Earn. Work. Hello? How many of you know you're just as rich before you get a job as you were after you get a job? You've inherited everything. Somebody said, well, I'm just going to quit my job then and get it. Well, you're probably not there. If you're there, more power to you. But I'm just telling you, most people aren't there. As soon as they come to the church needing their rent paid, we know, okay, they weren't there. Hello. My point is that this is the victory that overcomes and supersedes the way that this system in the world has planned to take care of you. You've got to rise above it. You've got to put something in motion that gives you the superiority over the flow of this earth, which always ends up being destroyed. Goes through all these cycles of increase and depressions and recessions and all this. You've got to get above that. And this is the victory that gets you above that. Am I preaching all right? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. This verse grows on me and grows on me. I've been seeing this for a couple of years, and it gets more meaningful the more I meditate on it here in verse 11. Wherefore, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11, therefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Notice there is a faith kind of work. This is not working in the natural. This is the work of faith he mentioned back there in Hebrews chapter 6. He said that to be not slothful, be imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They said to Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, believe.
Yes.
Believe.
Amen.
You getting this?
Yes.
He said that the God will fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power.
Amen.
In other words, the word fulfill, I looked this up and I was blessed because my spirit was trying to tell me this, but I couldn't see it in the English. I looked up the word fulfill in the Greek. In the Greek, it means to fill up to the full, to level up a hollow, empty place, to accomplish, to complete, to furnish, to supply. So it says that God will accomplish all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. In other words, he will accomplish it. He will fill it with his power. When you act in faith, God fills those actions of faith with his power. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know. I don't seem to have much of the power of God in operation. Well, are you acting in faith? Because that's what he fills. And that's how he fulfills the good pleasure of his goodness. In other words, that's how he gets his way in your life, by us acting in faith, and he mixes his power with our faith. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm preaching better than some of you are amening. One translation says, every good thing that he has purposed, that's what he gets to do. Another one says, every good thing in his will. Another one says, every good thing he is resolved to do. Hallelujah. And the Knox says, he'll fill all the activity of your faith with his power. New English says, every act inspired by faith, he fills it with his power. In other words, when you and I see the word of God and we decide to act on that, that brings the power of God into action. Now, you can work all week long without the power of God on you if you want. I want to work where it's light and easy. Because he said, my yoke is easy. He didn't say, I didn't give you a yoke. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now listen to this. It's a work, but it's not a burden. It's a light and easy work because he's working with you. His power is coming along beside you. And that'll take you much further than a guy who's working all in the flesh without the power of God. Hallelujah. Well, let's think about this. Work, what does it mean then when it says faith is a work? We're not talking about it's a works program to earn something. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about there is labor to it. Here's some of the things that you're going to have to learn to do as you walk by faith. You must recognize, first of all, that it is the actions of your faith that brings the power of God on the scene. But you must recognize that it is work to believe God. It is work to believe. It is work to cast down imaginations. And to guard your faith and protect it by not allowing just any old thoughts to come into your mind. You're going to have to put forth some spiritual diligence. When the thoughts come that contradict the word of God, rather than just start crying and sitting down and quitting, you've got to get up. You've got to speak the word and you've got to cast down those imaginations. To not do so is called lazy. Amen. It's not okay to just sit around and let thoughts run through our minds. You know, they might leave eventually, but they'll come back stronger. It's work to cast down imaginations. It's work to keep the devil off of your faith because he comes for your faith. Remember whenever Jesus, right before he went to the cross, the Bible said that Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times. You remember that? Peter said, no, I won't do that. And here's what Jesus says. Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat.
Yeah.
Now notice what he said. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Notice he didn't say, I've prayed for you that Satan won't do it.
Right.
He didn't pray for that.
Right.
It's not right necessarily. We do not scripturally have the right to pray that Satan won't attack you.
Yeah.
Lord, I just pray that Satan won't attack Michael anymore or attack somebody else. He's going to do it. You don't have the right to say, I pray that he won't. No, what we have, the Bible said, Jesus prayed for Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, when he said fail not, he's not talking about like sometimes whenever you believe God, things don't work out. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that you don't give up your faith. Satan came to strip Peter of his faith. It's work to not let him do that. You've got to resist him whenever he comes. You've got thoughts of quitting, thoughts of leaving, thoughts of giving up on your marriage or whatever. You've got to resist that stuff. It's work to cast down imaginations. Amen. It's work to walk in love with your spouse. You as a spouse, you know it doesn't happen just because you got married. It takes effort. Amen. So Satan wants to strip you of your faith. Well, it takes resisting him to keep him from being able to do it. You know, in the football game, the guys in the football game, the opponent wants to come after the ball. And you can't get, like if I'm a wide receiver and I catch the ball and I take off running with it, I can't take it personal that the whole field, the opposing team, they all come towards me now. Tackle me, and then I can't lay on the ground and say, I'm a nice guy. I don't know why you don't like me anymore. It's nothing personal. It's all about the ball I'm carrying. Right? And you got to recognize that he comes for your faith. You got to recognize it's not personal. You know, when he's coming after you, he's trying to get your faith. He's trying to strip it away from you. Because he doesn't want you crossing that finish line, or doesn't want you crossing that goal line. Amen. So it's work to keep believing when worry tries to roost in your faith. Anybody ever been attacked with worry? It's work to say, I'm not going to worry. It's work to cast down the imaginations. It's work to say, I cast my care over on the Lord. It's no work at all to sit there and start crying. No work at all. Any old sinner can do that. It's not okay for us to just give up like that. It takes work. It takes a spiritual effort, not a natural effort, but a spiritual effort. It takes resisting these thoughts whenever they come. Heard an illustration that helps me so good. Have you ever, I know you wouldn't do this now, you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But in elementary school, before you were saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, have you ever been taking a test and you put down an answer and you just glanced at the neighbor's test and, they got the different answer. They marked the other one. Anybody ever had an experience like that? Now, you've all since then quit stuff like that, but anybody? Nobody's willing to raise their hand. Look at that. But have you ever had that? And then there's all of a sudden, now you're in a battle in your mind. You're thinking, well, that's what I thought it was, but, you know, they get A's, and, they marked the other one. Now you're in a fight. Now in your mind you're going, well, I thought this was it. And then have you ever changed your answer, turned it in, and then it came back and they marked it and it was wrong? Anybody ever done that? Anybody willing to fess up and say you've done that? Well, how many of you know what faith means is that you know the answer and you don't change it. You don't erase it. Just because you're going through a test or trial, you're not changing your answer. The answer still is, by his stripes, I am healed. By the way, Mr. Devil, that is my final answer. Not changing it. See, you knew the answer in high school or elementary school. You knew the answer before you saw theirs. And then, now you're in a fight. Trying to decide, now, wait a minute, is that right? Because I thought the teacher said, and you know. Remember? And that's the way it is whenever you're going through a test and the devil says, see, you're not. And it's work to say, I am. I am still healed. You've got to resist all those temptations. Amen. So it's work to cast down wrong thoughts. It's work to pay attention to what's going on in your mind. How many of you know it's a full-time job just to sneak up on yourself and what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? You need to do that regularly. It's not my job to do that for you. It's your job to do that. It's work. You got to pay attention to what you're thinking about. Bring every thought captive. Cast your care on the Lord. It's work to not let some go through your mind and other ones take captive. It says bringing every thought captive, every one of them. It's not okay to just every other one. No, it's work to cast down every imagination. But it's a work you need to decide, I love this work. Because really, if I'll sufficiently operate in these things, it'll get easier and easier. And it'll get to the place that it's almost first nature whenever thoughts like that come. I just kick them right on through, you know.
That's good.
You understand? The other side of this, the payoff is huge. You'll be glad. If you do this, you'll be glad you did. Now, it's also work to live by faith. A lot of people get saved by faith, and then they just coast the rest of their life. But it's work to live by faith. Hallelujah. Now, it's work to develop your spirit. When you sit down and you feed on the Word of God, you meditate on the Word of God, and you lift up your hands and thank God that it's so, you're developing your faith, you're developing your spirit, and that takes work. There's been many, many days. I mean, especially in springtime like this, I got a basement that I like to study and meditate in and pray in. And I look out my door. There's windows along the back of the house. And there's, the woods is back there. I love the woods. We've got all the bird feeders and all the birds are out there. And I just want to get out in the yard and do something.
Yeah.
Sunny outside, 66 degrees, clear blue sky, sunny. And here I am in a basement pouring over the Word of God. And I just have to keep from looking up sometimes because I get distracted.
Yeah.
I want to get outside. I just like to be outside. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It'd be more relaxing to me to get out there and just tinker around the yard. Find a weed and pull it out, That's just relaxing. It's almost recreation for me. But here I am in the basement and I'm laboring over the Word of God. It's a different kind of work. It took me years to get to the place where I'm okay with that kind of work. Because I was raised with working with my hands, Praise God. But that's my work. That's what I'm giving myself to do. Not only for my life, but for your life. I'm laboring, toiling your field, disking it up, breaking up the fallow ground, getting seed in your ground. Hallelujah. So it's work to give yourself to spiritual things. It's a work the flesh doesn't enjoy, but your spirit man loves it. Now, if you're a person that's lazy in the natural, you're going to struggle with this kind of work too. Because a lazy person in the natural is not used to disciplining themselves. You've got to become a disciplined kind of a person. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the kind of work this church is all about. We have natural things to do. We got helps ministry. All those things are natural things, but really they're not natural things. We're a church that wants to labor in the Spirit. Now, not every Christian likes this kind of church. Most Christians want to be entertained. Because of the culture we've grown up in. We want to be entertained. And they don't want to work. They want it to be, okay, preacher, you pray for me. And I'm going to go back and live my carnal life, do my thing. Don't want to have to be responsible for the outcome of my life whatsoever. If you don't get it whenever you pray, then you don't have it. I'll go somewhere else. That's the culture we have. Amen. That's also the reason churches like this don't necessarily grow the same as if you're handing out big screen TVs, preaching out a Reader's Digest kind of thing. Hello? Praise the Lord. I'm preaching pretty good. So there's work to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. It's not a work that many of us are used to, but sowing to our spirit man requires discipline in the Spirit. Amen. Everything in this natural realm caters to the flesh. People are more comfortable in the flesh, many of them, than they are in the Spirit. You can tell that when you get together in prayer with them. They're not used to going into the Spirit. Because their mind is used to holding them in this mental work realm understanding what's going on. It's work to not just shut down a meeting like Wednesday night and say, we don't know what's going to happen next. Let's do something we're comfortable with. Okay, we're comfortable with this. We're comfortable teaching. That's work. You might not know it, but a minister has to work to not shut down a move of the Spirit because he doesn't know what to do next. I don't know if you realize that or not. It took me years to be okay with, I don't know what's happening now, and I don't know what's happening next. But if you don't let on that you don't know what's happening, everybody will think you know what's going on.
Amen.
You can understand that. How many of you can understand that? So it's work to not just get up in the morning and jump into the natural, jump into the mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you get up in the morning, many times your mind kicks in. Okay, today I've got to do this, I've got to do that, got to do that. It's work to not let your mind take over like that. It's work to say, nope, not going there right now. Right now I'm just lifting up my hands. Father, I just want to thank you. Father, I just begin to draw up out of my spirit. Thank you. This is the day that you have made. And stay in this realm for a period of time. Hello. You understand what I'm talking about? It's work to crucify the flesh, to spend time feeding your spirit, to hold yourself in the spirit, fellowshipping with God in the spirit, drawing out of your spirit and shutting down your mind. It's work. How many of you ever have to fight to get your mind to shut down? It's work to do that. But it's a work well worth the effort once you get to that place. It's work to renew your mind. Sometimes you have to really work at it. It's like getting your, if you've grown up in a rut of a way of thinking, you've got to, and it's like you're in a ditch. You know, if you ever going down a country road, I grew up on the farm. You go down a country road, an old dirt road, you know, got traveled a lot on the back roads, you know, and then whenever it rains, the water goes down those paths and ruts them out. So then you got deep ruts. And you're going down through there and you get in those deep ruts. It's work to get up out of there. Well, you can do that mentally. You can get in a mental rut of thinking certain ways. Here's one, for example. Our minds are to be renewed, aren't they? Our minds have got to, really what our minds being renewed is getting new definitions for things. Because in the natural, before we start working in the spirit to renew our mind, then in the natural, whenever we feel the pain is gone, guess what? I'm healed. That's the natural. But it's work to redefine what healing is. The Bible said, he that believeth hath. Now, we've got to redefine. This is the process of renewing the mind. We've got to redefine what it means to possess healing. The pain is gone is not, I'm healed now. We've got to have a new definition. What is the definition of healing? He that believeth hath. I am healed because I believe I have received. Isn't that what it says? Hands were laid on me. The anointing went in, and the anointing destroys the yoke. So the anointing is in me. That anointing is in me now, and I am healed because that power is working in me. That is a renewed mind. But a person who's not worked in that area, not put forth the effort to renew their mind, get new definitions, get God's definitions for everything, they'll go, oh, I thought I got it. And I didn't. See, they haven't put forth the work yet. Amen. Maybe some of us are still there, but we're all going that direction to get our minds renewed. Isn't that right? It's work to say, I am blessed, all my needs are met, I have a supply because my Heavenly Father supplies all my needs. It's work to say that whenever the pressure is on your mind and all the circumstances are telling you, no, you don't have enough. Look, you're going under. You only got one nostril above. Ah! But you gurgle up, my God supplies all my need. Amen. I'm prosperous because I'm in him. I'm born again. I have a supply. He's provided all my needs. Amen. We've heard this all our life. Well, you know, we grew up and our parents said, you can't have that. We don't have the money. We've got to redefine. We've got to renew our minds. Well, maybe we don't have the money, but that does not mean we can't have that. I'm not talking about going paying in credit cards. I'm talking about my God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. God didn't look at my bank account balance to determine whether I can have that or not. You can have anything you can receive. But that's a new definition. And it takes work to renew our minds in that area. Am I helping anybody this morning? Amen. God didn't look in your checkbook to see what you have in there to see if you can afford something before he says, I'm going to assign this person to do this for me. In fact, he doesn't necessarily consider that to be the reason you get an assignment. In fact, we should not look to that before we accept the assignment. God's called me to do this. Well, do you have the money? No. Okay, woohoo, glory to God. You're getting ready to see some miracles. If you don't have it, that doesn't mean you can't do it. That doesn't mean, I mean, if you don't have the money in the bank, it doesn't mean you can't do it. Doesn't mean you're not called to it. It doesn't mean that you're not prosperous. God didn't look in your bank account to see if you're prosperous. He looked in on the blessing. He said, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And it's work to renew your mind. I'm rich because I have the blessing. Not I'm rich because I have a bank account. I think we needed this today. I can tell. I'm doing some plowing in this area. I believe I'm prosperous now. I don't have to have the balance in the bank account that says I am. I believe I am, and I have to work to not let Satan get me to define prosperity any other way. Prosperity is not my bank account. Prosperity is the blessing. It's work to keep focused on the supply and not on your wallet. I said it's work to keep focused on your supply and not on the wallet. Praise be to God. My wallet is not the source of my prosperity. You see, my wallet will become the recipient of it, but it's not the source of it. So why should I look at where prosperity comes to? I should be looking at where it comes from. I need to keep my focus on my source. Praise God. Hallelujah. My money is not my prosperity. My supply is my prosperity. Money is something in the natural. Supply is something in the spirit. It's work to keep focused on the supply and not on the wallet. Amen. It's work to stand up and face the need and say, I have more than enough. Takes work. Amen. You getting this morning? If you stick with these things, this will become first nature. Your mind will eventually stop fighting you on things and stop trying to hold fast to the old definitions of what it is to be in Christ. And you'll stop fighting and you'll become a person where saying these things are first nature. Amen. And it won't be so much work. You ever been around people that just talk death, talk negative, talk fear, talk unbelief, talk failure, poverty and the lack and all those things, just talking all the time. And you're like, ah. See, you're so used to getting in a flow of faith, speaking in that flow, that to you it's almost first nature. And it's shocking to you when somebody's saying something else. Because it's become more of first nature. The Lord said this to me one time. He said, the more you're in the spirit, the easier things are. Amen. The more you live in the spirit, the easier things get. Did you get that? Praise God. Say that out loud. The more I walk in the spirit, the easier things get. In other words, things are done with ease whenever you're more in the spirit. You keep walking in these things. You keep walking in the light. You keep saying the right thing. You keep renewing your mind, casting down imaginations, refusing to worry. You keep living this way, and before you know it, you'll be doing it with ease. You'll have formed a new rut, and because you worked at casting down the wrong kinds of thoughts. Amen? It does take work, though, to break bad spiritual habits. It takes work to break the bad spiritual habit of getting offended. How many of you know most Americans are raised in you don't tell me what to do. I'll just leave you. Marriages, jobs, all these things. And that's a bad spiritual habit. I say that's a bad spiritual habit. Being offended whenever correction comes. You know, a lot of times we're getting offended at our own answer. Why get offended at your answer? We have this culture where nobody can correct us. Who are you to correct me? Well, I'm not saying we should walk around and correct each other, but there are authorities in our life. There are policemen. He should have the right to correct you or me if we're going down the road too fast. But see, people have this offended attitude. Well, I'm going to court and I'm going to... There's just something you ought to learn to do, and that is just suck it up and say, you're right, you're right. There are authorities in our life. The policeman is the authority. The high school coach. Don't side in with your son. If your high school coach gave your son some direction, he didn't do it, and he came home, mama, mama, mama. Don't side in with your son going to the coach. We got a big problem in some of these areas. Now, there are people that are wrong in some of those areas, but you can do it right. Just because your son wasn't raised right doesn't mean you have to side in with him anyway. We're quitting right now. Praise the Lord. There are authorities in our life. Amen? It's work to break the bad spiritual habit of always talking back when somebody corrects us. We need to learn to just say, thank you, thank you. And not make an excuse. How many of you know it's work to break the habit of saying, I'm sorry, but you understand, da 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 da. No. After that, I'm sorry, you should have put a period because you just messed up a real good apology right there. It's work to break that habit. See, that's the flesh. The flesh wants to get a little jab in, you know. Train your children in that. Don't train them to, well, mama, blah, 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 blah. No. No, I asked you not to do that, and you did it. So don't mess up your good apology. Amen. It's work to walk in the Spirit and crucify the flesh. It's work to keep your tongue hooked up to your spirit. It's work. How many of you notice it's work to pray in tongues? The flesh keeps wanting to pull you out, but you have to work to stay there. Your mind will run to the refrigerator and run to the job and run all over the place. And you can't, I'm looking down here. And you can have a hold of your mind one moment, and next moment, bam, there it went. It's work to bring it back. Amen. It's work to stay edified and built up in the Spirit. All this work gets harder if we get weak spiritually. So we have to keep ourselves strong spiritually. It's work to express your faith rather than just be quiet. How many of you know the first thing that goes is not the belief? The first thing that goes is the confession. We start getting quiet. It's work to maintain an affirmative confession of the truths that we've embraced. Amen. It takes diligence to do it, to express it faithfully. Amen. I'm almost done. Everybody say he's almost done. We want to express faith in a crisis. But you'll be behind, you won't be up to par spiritually if you just be lazy while the times are going good and then you get an attack against your life. Okay, here we go. You're going to find, oh man, this is hard. I haven't been exercising this. Just live that way. Many of the times I pray, I wouldn't say every time because, you know, don't do it every time, but most of the time whenever I pray, I end it, Father, I just want to thank you. You took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Or you've taken sickness out of the midst of us and we'll fulfill all the number of our... I just say that all the time. No pain, nothing out in the body, but I just say it all the time. I want to keep exercising. I want to keep that active. I want to keep my spirit always expressing those things because I don't want to get lazy. I don't want to get flabby spiritually. Any of you guys ever played basketball in high school or someplace and then, you know, you didn't play for years and then, okay, let's get back in the gym, man. I need to work out. And you try to do the same thing you did and it just doesn't work. It's because you haven't been practicing, right? So just keep at it. Just practice all the time. Then whenever the tough time comes, man, you're right there ready to go on it. Amen. It's work to hold fast to the confession of your faith. Amen. It doesn't take anything to let go of your confession of faith, but it takes work to exercise faith in the whenever Satan's resisting you. That's what I mean whenever I talk about the work of faith. I mean exercising it. I mean casting down imaginations, controlling your mind, staying hooked up to your spirit. That takes work, but it pays off richly because it keeps the power of God working in your life. Don't think that the way that God's going to do things in your life independent of you. Well, you're just going to wake up some morning. See, too many Christians, they have this mentality where they're just going to wake up some morning and walk out the door and stumble over a bag of money. And what is this? And $1 million. Woohoo! No, if you've been spiritually lazy, you're going to have to walk by faith. It's not just a one big hit kind of a thing. It's just going from glory to glory. The Lord shall increase you more and more. Just as you keep exercising, it'll keep on growing. You'll keep on getting hits and hits and hits and hits and hits. Financially, you'll just keep increasing. Amen.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org. or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.